I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to House Plans. Glad you could be with us this morning. Keevers is at the beach.
He's at the beach on vacation.
I think we should have been at
the beach too, JD. I wonder if he's listening.
He is.
He can't help it.
He can't help himself.
No, he went down to, he likes to go down to Amelia Island, doesn't he? Isn't that where
he
is?
Yeah, he's down there. He's got his
restaurants already picked out. I know he's got that breakfast place he likes to go.
He had that all set up before he even left.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's funny, you know, and you're probably the same way as us. When we go to the beach, we have our places.
Yep.
That we go.
Yep.
We have the standard.
Yes.
You got the handful of just standard every year you got to go, and then there's usually like five or so places that, hey, let's try this place.
Try this one time.
And see how it goes.
Exactly right.
Maybe that's what we should talk about today. When you go to the beach, the listeners,
what are the things
that you do when you go to the beach?
Yeah, so. I tell you, ours is like Groundhog Day.
It is.
I mean, I'm telling you, seven days of Groundhog Day. It's up at 9, breakfast at 9:15, make sandwiches at 10:30, beach at 11, back at 3, hit the pool.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds miserable, doesn't it?
I know.
And then about 5:15, you start arguing about where you're going to eat.
Yeah, that's right.
About 7, you decide. Everybody's hungry and cranky. And then tomorrow, we do the same thing again.
Yeah, that sounds very familiar. It is funny. We can remember going to the beach as a kid, and you know, this is going to sound crazy, but I remember with my grandmother, they would have a full breakfast. I'm talking about eggs, grits, sausage, everything.
Yes.
This is for 10 people, I think, you know, how big the family was in. And then she would finally get out to the beach around 11 or so, and my grandfather would look at his watch, and he'd say, you know, Lilith, about time you get back up there and get that lunch going. And we would have roast beef and corn and green beans and all this stuff for lunch.
All sandwiches.
You know, and then we would have something light, like burgers or something at night. And I'm sitting here going like, holy cow, nowadays it's just, every man for himself, you know. Yeah.
Well, talking about beach properties, I had a couple of questions this week about buying second home, so maybe a good topic to kind of hit today. But first question I got, and I know you get this one all the time, JD, is, you know, hey, I'm in this deal with three other people. We got a LLC set up. Can we get some 30-year fixed, long term Fannie and Freddie financing?
Yeah, I can tell you how to do it.
Yeah, the answer is no.
Yeah, that's right.
No LLCs.
Yeah, no LLCs. No, it's got to be an individual name, but. Yeah.
But they have come up with some provisions now, as I understand it, so you can move it back.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. So there's some options there, but the short answer is no, not in the LLC name. But we can talk a little bit about second homes and a lot of people too don't know the difference between a second home and an investment property.
Yes,
that's something that we probably should hit on at some point during the show here. So
yeah, well, you know, one of the things that that does occur is unfortunately is occupancy fraud, number one type of fraud in the mortgage business, and I can tell you there are particular investors and Fannie and Freddie that go out and look for it. They pull things, and people don't realize they do this, but they'll pull things like whose name is the power bill in.
Right.
And so they know whether you're living there, not living there, renting out. What type of taxes do you pay in the state of South Carolina? They're going to assume if you're paying the 6% that it's investment or second home.
Mm-hmm.
If you're paying 4%, it's primary.
Yep.
And then, of course, the other thing that they'll check is they'll send you mail and see if it comes back.
Yep.
And then they look at your insurance. What type
of policy?
Of policy do you have? Do you have contents coverage? Do you have building coverage? And so that is one of the things that they look for. And, of course, if they find that type of fraud,
and Chris Roberts gets a letter.
Yes, then I get a letter, and then I have to call you and go, have you been bad?
Yes, that's right.
Have you been playing outside the box? But, you know, good topic to talk about because, like you said, there is some confusion out there about second home or primary or investment. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things a lot of people miss is the rate on a second home is the same.
Yeah.
Isn't the interest rate, you get no interest rate advantage by not telling somebody it's a second
home. It's the same thing. It's a really, the second homes are a really good deal. Loan to values aren't quite as aggressive, but they, the rates and then that sort of thing, you can get 30-year money and all, that's a good opportunity there. So, listen, we're going to head into our first break of the show. We do need some phone calls and texters today. There's no doubt about it. With Keith not here, we're going to need some help. So, toll-free number 866-442-7553. That's toll-free, 866-442-7553. The text line is open as well this morning at 71307. Shoot us a text question if you want to do that instead of calling in. 71307. That's the text line. You're listening to House Plans. Chris and JD from County Bank Mortgage. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. JD and Chris from County Bank Mortgage talking a little real estate today. If you got a question about buying, selling, anything to do with real estate, 866-442-7553, and 71307 is the text line. We got a text, but I don't believe that's real estate related, so we're going to skip that one today.
Yeah, we got a text, something about waking up,
boyfriend with somebody else. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry to hear about that.
Well, I mean, it could be real estate related. She could be looking to move out.
She's going to be moving out, whoever that is. Yeah.
Yeah, she needs to buy a house.
I think that's what peace out Felicia means.
Yeah, I think it does.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, anyway.
Well, listen, if you do have a question about buying, selling, anything to do with the real estate, do give us a shout this morning, 866-442-7553. Or, of course, you can always hit us up on the text line, 71307. That's 71307. We are talking a little real estate today, talking about second homes.
Yeah, and second homes is a great category. You know, there's a lot of things to talk about in regards to second homes, and a lot of confusion out there too. You know, when I'm talking to someone and they're considering a second home, you know, it always creates a few questions that maybe people don't think about when they're getting ready to buy.
Well, here's the key to the definition of a second home. It has to be available for the exclusive use of the owner. And so what that means is no rentals.
Yes.
No Airbnb.
Right.
No listed online.
Yep.
No income on
no
your
VRBO.
Tax returns.
Yep.
No VRBO. None of that
for
it to be a second home. And people are like, really? And I'm like, yes, really.
That's what it means.
So, you know, if you have a second home and you rent it out for football games, it's an investment.
Right. That's right.
And they do look at that stuff.
Now, and then get into that gray area a little bit because, you know, if I have a second home at the lake and the Roberts want to go use it for
a
weekend,
that's different.
That's right. Well, listen, we got a caller, Chris. We got Wes in Chesney. Wants to talk about mortgage with low credit. Hey, Wes, how are you?
Fine, how about y'all?
Fantastic.
We're doing great. What can we do for you?
I moved in several years ago with my mother to help take care of my grandparents.
Yep.
And about 6 years ago, my grandmother passed away. She was the last one. Mm-hmm. And she left the house to Mom and me. Everything's in our name except the mortgage.
Okay.
And we don't know whether to talk to the mortgage company about anything. We've just been paying it. My credit's not any good. I make good money, but I don't have good credit. She has good credit, but she's on disability.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. Here's what I would tell you how to do. I mean, you're just looking to, hey, at some point, you want to get that mortgage transferred over to you guys' name just to kind of clean things up.
Correct.
Yep. So here's what I would do, Wes. It kind of goes back to it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And I've talked to a lot of people who said they have low credit scores that would actually qualify now, okay? Now, your situation may or may not be in that, you know, that thing. Your mom may qualify on her own. We may need to have your income, and then we would just need to pull your credit, see what the scores are. But one of the best things about County Bank is we have a credit simulation We can actually look at your credit, and our credit bureau providers tell us exactly what you would need to do to get your score raised up to a qualifying level. And we always, I bet I probably have two or three, maybe a handful of these type of deals going all the time. Love to talk to people, and you know, we could talk to you and figure out, okay, here's why you don't qualify right now, or if you do qualify, and then if you don't, here's what you need to do to get to where you're going. And the sooner you act on that, the better chance you are of qualifying quicker.
One other thing I would tell you, are you paying the current mortgage? How are you paying it? By check, by money order?
By check.
Okay,
yep,
that's very important. Yep. Make sure that you pay by check and you document that you're paying on time, because that may become very important when you do get around to refinancing that property. One of the other things I would tell you is... I'm sorry?
We're actually a month ahead right now.
Perfect.
Good.
Yeah, and so what JD's talking about is, a lot of times people will say, hey, I've got this problem, I got that problem. But when a loan officer pulls the credit and dives in, a lot of times they could be three or four things that need to be fixed. Now, we're not in the credit repair business. We're not talking about that, but we're talking about giving you information that is, hey, these are the five or six steps you need to take to get there. And then you have to do the work. It might take 10 days. It might take 110 days. It might take 1,010 days.
Right.
But at least you know what you got to do to get there. And we can monitor it as we go along. We've had folks that we've worked with for 2 or 3 years sometimes, so that they could achieve the goal that they want.
Yep.
And it's not painful as long as you're willing to do the work.
Okay.
Yeah, well, listen, here's what you can do, Wes. During the week, you can reach me at 331-HOME. That's 331-4663, County Bank Mortgage. Feel free just to give me a call. I would love to talk to you on, you know, Monday or Tuesday, whatever works for you. And, you know, we can talk through the situation. And if you want to get started, we can hit that first domino, and it'll be just a matter of time before we get it all worked out.
All right.
That sound good?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Awesome,
okay,
Wes.
Well, thank you, Wes. Appreciate the call and question.
331-HOME. Look forward to talking to you next week.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
You know, that's a great point, Chris.
Sure.
You know, we talk about it, you know, a lot on the show, but, you know, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And there's a lot of people. I mean, I talked to probably two people this week. Both of them were right around 600, 610 scores. You know, we need that 620 to work it out. One was Kim's previous client, and, you know, I was talking to her, and I said, look, here's what you got to do. You got the Discover card. You need to get that thing paid down to about, you know, a balance of around $1,000. And she was like, you know what, I'm going to do it this week, and I'll send you what you need. How quick can you turn it around? And we're gonna get her going probably here in the next week to 10 days. And then I had another client, and actually their situation, you know, a lot of people don't realize this. County Bank offers a secured credit card product.
Sure.
And this particular client just needed some new credit. And so, you know, when we went through the simulation, we added the credit card, you know, onto their credit, and then we can do the simulation, and it'll tell us in 2 months, in 3 months, what their score will be.
Yep.
And this particular guy just needed to get one of those $300 to $500 secured cards, you know, put $50 to $100 charge on it and start making payments. And within 90 days, it was going to make like a 40-point difference
in
his credit.
Yeah, it's so crazy how that works. And one of the things, I actually talked to an agent this week, and that's one of the things that she said, you know, that we offered that some people may have access to, but they don't use it the way we use it and don't explain it. And she was like, listen, I really appreciate that, because I have clients that are first-time homebuyers that are trying to get it all together and trying to figure it out, and sometimes they just don't know. I mean, if you're not in the business, it would be difficult for you to know, hey, owing a third – one-third of your credit limit on your credit card will give you the maximum score.
Right.
And if you're not in the business, you don't know that. And so in this example you just gave, you're like, okay, here's what we do. You pay it down to this, And then all of a sudden it makes a huge difference. And like you said, 40 points is a lot of points.
That's a lot of points.
And that would be for somebody who had a 720, it could take them to a 760.
Right.
Or it would be for somebody who has a 600 that would take them to a 640.
I'll give you a prime example. Talked to a guy this week. They're moving up here from Charleston. And he's got his house sold in Charleston. Didn't take him long. Imagine
about
that.
About 4 minutes.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. And he's going to clear $120,000 or something on the property down there. Well, he's coming up here, and he said he wants to put 80 down on 400. You know, put the 20%.
Sure.
So I said, hey, that's great. You know, and I said, you know, just out of curiosity, what are you planning on doing with the other 40? He said, well, I want to pay off some bills I got, you know, and that sort of thing. Well, when I pulled their credit,
yep,
his wife had a 760, but he had like a 685. He had one of those medical collections he didn't even know about.
Yep.
Well, anyway, so we got to talk anyhow. So he had a credit card that was, you know, towards the max. Well, anyway, I told him, I said, let me ask you something. I said, are you going to pay off that Discover? Is that what your plan is? About $10,000 bound. He said, yeah, well, that's what my plan is. I said, well, let me just tell you what that's going to do to your score. You qualify fine right now.
Right.
But you'll go from 680 to 740. And I said, the difference in the rate that I can offer you after doing that is like from 5.25 down to 4.75. So it was a half point to the rate.
Yeah.
You know, just by, you know, paying off that one card. So, you know, sometimes doing a customized mortgage solution and talking about just doing those little things like that is can be the difference.
Well, I mean, think about that. You get that savings over the next 30 years.
Right.
And if the person you're working with, the big box in the sky or the other local guy, doesn't take the time to do that, then guess who misses out?
Yeah. Yeah, that's an extra $100 a month or whatever it is
that's
that you're
going
to be paying on that size.
Well,
loan.
And if the loan has – if that was a 90% loan, it would change the price of the mortgage insurance as well.
Yeah, Ben, that would be really high. Yeah, that's right.
Well, listen, if you've got a question about buying, selling, anything to do with real estate, give us a shout this morning, 866-442-7553. And, of course, you can hit us on the text line 71307. That's 71307. We'd love to take your question, call, comment. Well, you know, talking about the credit, I recently had a friend about 6 weeks ago that called me up and said, I got a problem. I'm like, what's the problem? They said, well, you know, my lease is up. I expected to renew my lease. And my landlord said, sorry for your luck. I'm selling this house. You got to go.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, the real estate market is very tight. Rentals are tight.
Mm-hmm.
She was in the perfect location. And I was like, well, why don't you buy something? Well, I can't. And I said, tell me why. And so she starts talking about, you know, went through a divorce. She starts talking about all the trouble that they had and how bad it was. And, you know, her score's not good and this. And I said, well, have you checked your score? No, I just know it's terrible. And I'm like, look, let me refer you over to Brandon Calhoun. You call Brandon and let's have Brandon take a peek.
Yeah.
You know what the score was?
700.
720.
Yeah.
720.
Yeah.
The only problem was that there was a little bit of taxes due, and I said, look, you're going to have to stroke a check to pay these taxes, and then you can go buy a house.
Yeah.
And she was dumbfounded. She was like, no. And so here she did. She moved three doors down from where she lived, moved on the same street into a bigger house for
less
money than what she was paying in rent, and now she's an owner.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
And the whole time, she had that head cheese that she couldn't qualify, and she qualified just fine.
Yeah. It's listen, there are so many programs that are out there these days with really great rates. You know, the FHA program, you know, the PMI is permanent. You know, here's one of the things, too. You know, I hear people all the time, boy, that FHA, like, I don't know if I can get into that. You know, that PMI is permanent. I've heard about all that and everything.
That's right.
Well, I'm like, okay, well, you're putting 3.5% down. That's great. Okay.
Right.
Even if you were doing a conventional loan with 3 or 5% down, that PMI is probably going to last about 10 or 11 years anyway.
Yes.
And chances are you're probably either going to move or refinance or do something in that 10 or 11 year window.
Sure.
So I wouldn't be stressed out about a 30 year PMI.
Yeah, you need to know about it.
Right. That's right.
You know, and I will say this, both Fannie and Freddie have both come out with 97% programs that are they have a new one that's coming out the end of this
September,
month.
Yeah.
But they're designed now. They have a couple that are designed for below 100% of the HUD median income. They have some that are designed for specific areas, but this new one that's coming out is for any and everybody. and it's a 97% program, so you can do 3% down. The money can be gifted. You can get discounted MI. I mean, there's a lot of good things going on there. But like you say, even if you get that loan, you're going to have to pay that mortgage insurance for a while.
Yeah.
Because remember, the mortgage insurance does not go away on a conventional loan until you get to 78% of the original purchase price.
Right.
Not the current market value.
Yeah, that's right.
The original purchase price. The only way to avoid that is do a refi.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, and there's a lot of opportunities, you know, like that are out there. So people just need to remember. And sometimes if you have less than a perfect score, you know, sometimes that FHA loan might be the way to go because they're not going to penalize you for having a less than perfect score, whereas conventional is going to have the loan level price adjustment. So
they're also, I think, a little more lenient about prior bad acts, the foreclosures, the
bankruptcies.
Just a little bit more flexible, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So a lot of opportunities there. Well, listen, we're going to head into our bottom of the hour break. Kind of quiet out there. We need some phone calls. 866-442-7553 or shoot us a text here at House Plans. 71307 is the text line. And you're listening to House Plans, Chris and JD from County Bank Mortgage. We're going to be back right after this talking a little second homes and non-owner occupied properties. What's the difference and how can we help you on those? Talk to you later.
Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. Chris and JD from County Bank Mortgage in the house here to take your questions, calls, comments about buying, selling, anything to do with the real estate. 866-442-7553. And the text line is open 71307. We have a couple of callers and a texter. We're going to go over to Ann in Rutherfordton first. Good morning, Ann.
Hey, Ann.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Good.
I bought a house 3 months ago.
Yep.
And in the next week, I have the opportunity to pay it off. My mortgage that I took it with said I need to wait 6 months.
Yes.
Do I need to wait 6 months, or what's the pros and cons of not waiting 6 months compared to waiting 6 months? I'm going to get off
the
radio and let y'all answer that.
All right.
Thanks.
Well, you know, what Ann's talking about when the lender says, hey, we really want you to wait 6 months, it's because of the way that the pricing on that loan worked for both Ann and for the lender.
Right.
And so generally, when borrowers think about it, they think only about rate.
Right.
But there's a price associated with that rate that the lender's going to get paid, mm-hmm. and it allows them at the right price to give you a lower rate.
And sometimes, or give you a lender credit.
Yes.
To maybe offset closing costs and things of that nature. So, you know, what happens in that situation, Ann, is when you closed your mortgage, it could have been a situation where the price that was associated with the interest rate you got, they were able to get $2,000 or $3,000 or something to apply towards maybe some closing costs that you have. And the final investor is looking to recoup some of that money over a six-month period. If it's shorter than that, then basically, you know, it's going to be a negative, you know, situation for them as far as
so the people that made you the loan, if you don't wait 6 months, everything that they got paid for selling that loan, they'll have to give back. So essentially, they did the loan for free.
Yep.
And nobody likes to work for free.
Correct. Yeah.
So the person that'll get hurt the most is the person that made you the loan. And so that's why they're asking you to leave it open for 6 months.
Right.
It's because if it's open 6 months, they won't have to give that money back. And of course, you know, nobody wants to work for free.
And that conversation should have been had with you up front.
Yes.
At the very beginning. And when you structure the loan like that, you know, I'll have people that want to pay it off within a year, maybe a house sales or something like that. So we'll have a conversation and just say, look, here's the way this is going to work. But, you know, here's the way, if you want it to work this way, this is financially the best for you. But you need to keep the loan open for 6 months to make it to make that work. And that's where that all kind of comes
in. Yeah, usually you make a gentleman's agreement to do that. But but certainly if you have the money, you can do whatever you want and pay it off. But the what would have happened on the other side is you would have either paid a higher rate or you would have gotten to pay. You would have had to pay points to get the rate that you got.
So
they built their fee into the price of the rate of the loan.
Yep.
And so now they don't want to have to give that money back. And if you pay it off early, they'll have to give
it
back.
And I would just say, look, write it out. I would find out when that six-month date is. Call your the person who did the mortgage. Find out when that date is. Sometimes it's not even 6 months. It can be a little shorter than that.
Yep.
It's going to cost you an extra month or two interest. No big deal, and go from there. So.
Absolutely. Well, listen, we have another caller on the line. Let's go over to Keith in Greenville. Good morning, Keith.
Good morning. How you doing?
Fantastic.
I got two real quick points that I'd like for you guys to possibly answer. I got a piece of property in Woodruff, and I also have a house in Greer. And if I sold the house in Greer and used the money to have a house built on my property in Woodruff, would there be any capital gains involved that I would have to pay?
How long have you lived in the house in Greer?
Since 2001.
And it is your primary residence?
Yes.
Yeah. As I understand it, if you have lived in the property two out of the last 5 years as your primary residence, then you don't have to pay any capital gains on that property.
What property? The property in Greer or Woodruff?
The property in Greer.
Okay. But the property in Woodruff would be like a second property, so if I sold that, I'd have to pay capital gains on that, right?
As a general rule, yes.
Depending on, assuming you're selling it for more and there is a gain.
Yeah, so, you know, one of the things that we have seen people do is they'll sell the one in Greer, move into one in Woodruff, and then on month number 25, they'll put that one up on the market and sell it, and then that would have been your primary two out of the last five, and you avoid the capital gains on that. You know, I'm not sure that's an option, but we have seen people do that.
That's right.
That's something to consider. Now, my second point is that, okay, the house in Greer needs to be refurbished, and basically it needs to be repainted inside, and then the flooring all needs to be replaced.
Right.
And my question to you is, would it be worth tying money into that to refurbish it, or basically clean it out, clean it up real good, and just sell it as is?
You know, without seeing the property, it's hard to say, but I will say this. As a general rule, the better the condition, the faster it will sell.
Yeah.
And so if you paint it current color schemes, you know, the grays and the blues and things like that, and you replace the floor to match, then...
Okay, let me interrupt you there. The reason why I'm thinking on just trying to clean it up and not really refurbish it is because I would sell it at a reduced price, naturally.
Sure.
But also it would give somebody an opportunity to come in and pick what they want to color.
Certainly.
Paint inside the rooms, and then also they'd be able to pick their flooring with what they would want to put in.
And just understand that you're talking about, what we're talking about here is a pool of buyers that would be interested in that particular property. And what I would tell you is that I hear exactly what you're saying. A lot of people don't have the vision or the will to want to do all that work. They would rather walk into a ready-made type situation.
Absolutely.
And your pool of buyers would be bigger. It doesn't mean that you can make more or less money either way. I'm just talking about the velocity in which you'll sell your property.
Yeah, well, let's talk about JD and I. JD walks in that house that needs paint and flooring. He's going to turn around and leave and not be interested. The discount's not going to mean anything to you because you don't want to do the work.
That's right.
I walk into that property, and I'm going to be, oh, this is a deal. All I have to do is paint and put down floor. So JD's exactly right. It changes your pool of buyers when you start talking about condition of the property, and so that is what you have to weigh. How much money do you have to put in to get it painted, and how much do you have to do to the floor, and how much of that do you think you're going to recover? Now, I will say this. That Greer market, super, super hot market right now. You may be able to put it on the market because of the market conditions and sell it quick despite of the condition, assuming that it's not in horrible condition. And so you really need to talk to a listing agent and ask those questions, because they can tell you, hey, where you are, I'll sell this in a day in the current condition. Or they will tell you, where you are, location being the first important thing. You need to do this and this, and we'll sell it in 30 days.
Yeah, they may have a buyer ready to buy.
Here's an idea, okay? The houses in my community, they're selling for about 160, and they're going in hours.
Yes.
As soon as it's listed, okay, because of the location. Okay, now, if I owe about 60 on the house now, if I were to clean it up and refurbish it, okay, I could put it on the market just and have it refurbished just the way it was when I walked in. I could probably pull anywhere between 155 and 160 for
yep.
it.
Yep.
Now, if I turn around and I just clean it up and sell it at it as is, what I was thinking was that I could probably I owe about 60 on it, so I probably could.
Hey, Keith, I'll tell you what. Hey, hold that thought. Hold that thought. We've got a hard break coming up right here. We're going to come right back to you.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for you've been listening to House Plans. We're going to be back right after this, and we'll finish up the conversation with Keith. Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. JD and Chris from County Bank Mortgage, 866-442-7553, and 71307 is the text line. And we're going to go back to Keith. Hey, Keith. All right, so you got your house. Houses in your neighborhood are selling for around 160. Your house needs a little work, maybe paint, floor coverings, et cetera. You think you can sell it for how much?
I think anywhere is between 155, 160.
With it fixed up?
That's that with it totally refurbished.
Yep. How about as is?
When I bought it.
Yep. How about as is?
As is. Okay. I owe 60 on the place. I'm thinking I might be able to get 75.
75,000.
75,000.
Here's what I would suggest. Okay. I would suggest you definitely need to talk to a real estate agent. Because okay. I think you might be, I mean, I don't know how much work it needs, but if it's you're
right.
talking about paint and floor coverings, I think you can get more for that house than what you're thinking.
Yeah, well, you could either get more for it in the as-is condition, or for
well,
that
I'm
matter.
Thinking, I'm being cheap about it.
Oh, well,
no,
listen,
no doubt about if you're going to be cheap, I'll buy it.
Yeah, if it's worth 160 fixed up and you're willing to sell it for 75, call us. We'll buy it.
And then you don't even have to worry about it anymore.
Yeah. Because the effort of fixing it up for that type of spread would be tremendous. Mm-hmm. And I think you're probably way underestimating what you could sell it for in the as-is condition.
But, well, I think I am, too.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
But you need to know that. So here's what a professional real estate agent will do. They will come in and look at it, and they will tell you in the current market conditions, in the current condition of the property, this is what we think you can get. And then if you do these upgrades, you could get this. And I think you'll be surprised at the spread.
Yep.
But if you decide to unload it for 75, call me.
Yes.
331-HOME.
My thinking is that I would hate to tie the money in and the time in to do all the upgrades and refurbishing.
Yeah, that's right. And so selling as is may be your best bet, but you need
and then somebody will come in and they'll rip everything back out that I just put in.
I would be, you know, JD and I do that sometimes. We'd be willing to take a look at it. If you want us to come look at the property and make you an offer, give us a ring at 331-HOME. That's 331-4663. We'll be happy to come by and look at it.
331.
Yep, 331-4663, 331-HOME.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Hey, right. Thank you, Keith. Great call.
Great call,
thank
you. Listen, let's go to Ann in Rutherfordton. Hey, Ann, how are you?
Hey, good. I had another question.
Yeah,
okay,
say,
go
I
ahead.
I thought we just had an Ann from Rutherfordton, yeah.
I just bought the house 3 months ago. Mom's house is selling in 2 weeks. She's going to finish paying it off. But I haven't got her name on the mortgage. And she's 72 and has the homestead exemption on her house.
Right.
Should I add name to the mortgage since she's going to be 50% owner? Would she get the homestead tax exemption
When you're talking about the mortgage, are you talking about the deed? You're talking about adding her so that she's an owner of the property?
Absolutely, because she'll be paying it off.
Okay, so go back and ask your question again. So your question is, your mother would receive a homestead exemption. Should you add her to title? Is that what you're asking?
Yes, because she's 100% owner of the house she's got now, and she's homestead exemption on taxes.
Okay, and then is she going to move in with you, or she's going to stay where she is?
She already has for the last 2 months.
Okay, and that's going to be, what are you going to do with her house?
It's selling in 2 weeks.
Okay, there you go. So the reason I was asking that question is I understand it, JD, you can only get one homestead exemption for one property that is your primary residence.
Correct.
And so if she is now living with you, what I would recommend is go talk to a real estate attorney, and we can give you a couple of references. There's some that we work with that are great here in town. And just ask that question. If I add my mother to title on my property, what happens? And so they will be able to explain how you should do it on title, like, you know, should you have right of survivorship so it automatically passes to one or the other if something happens to one of you?
Yep.
And then they can also explain what your tax position will be. In some counties, I've seen them split it between the owners, discount half of the taxes down to the homestead and half of the taxes not, but it'll depend on the county that you're in. But that's the type of question that the a real estate attorney can help you with, and they can also help you prepare the deed and get it recorded properly to make sure that everything's the way you want it.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. And if you want a referral, just call us at that 331-4663, and we can introduce you to some good real estate attorneys that will help you with that.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank
you.
Hey,
thanks, no problem. Hey, listen, Chris, we got a text question here.
Yep.
This particular person missed a mortgage payment in December, had it on auto pay, went in and started messing around to change the amount, and ended up stopping the auto pay. And so they ended up with a little 30-day late, and their credit went from excellent to average. How can I fix it?
Yeah.
I had a similar situation happen to me 16 years ago. I'll never forget it. Only late I've ever had on my credit bureau. And, I haven't looked at my credit in years. But it's funny that this one popped up. I had a payment at the time of around, I think it was like $901. And I was sending them $1,000, $1,200 a month trying to pay off a little principal and that sort of thing. Well, you know, December is one of those months where you spend a lot of money, you know, and that kind of thing. So I sent them $900. And so I was a dollar short. And it ended up, I ended up putting a 30-day on my credit and also charging me a late charge.
Yep.
And I was livid. I was like, you got to be kidding me right now. You know, I've just sent you guys, you know, $1,200.
Yep.
Now my payment's $900.79.
I sent you $900.
Yeah, or whatever. And now you're going to charge me a late charge. Well, there's really not any way that you can fix that. You can call your mortgage company and try to negotiate and say, listen, I have this on auto pay, borrow. Yeah. And they may or may not help you. My guess is they probably will not help you, but it's definitely worth the call. You had a great idea about adding a statement onto your credit.
Yep.
You know, you can add a statement onto your credit bureau that just says the reason for my late in December of 2017 was because I had it on auto pay. And at least it won't make a difference to like a Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac type situation or your score. Yep. But banks, when they see that, will at least say, okay, this makes sense. And if you're doing a portfolio type loan where the bank's making a credit decision based on the pros and cons rather than the score and the pluses and minuses about the deal, then that would definitely make a difference. I will say this, if that's the only issue with your credit, there is a chance that you can get your score back up high enough. The longer that time goes, first of all, away from that late that the mortgage had in December, the better off it will be, especially when you get past the one-year mark.
Yes.
But you can always look at your other credit cards and things that are out there.
And see if you could do something there to pick up some of the points.
Some points back. Yeah, that's exactly right.
It's true, very, very true, that a brand new, most recent late or collection is going to have a huge impact. And then as JD's talking about, the further you go away from the time, the more it's going to increase your score. The other thing I would do is I would call the mortgage company and beg forgiveness.
Yep.
Sometimes they'll grant it, especially if it's
especially if they can see it's on auto pay, you know, or whatever, you know, that sort of thing.
And at a bare minimum, they might give you your late charge back.
Right.
Because it was a mistake. Now, some will, some won't, some do, some don't. You know how that works. But it's worth a phone call. You know, if I can make phone calls all day for $38,
maybe
back,
the old, hey, listen, you guys stop my auto pay. You know?
If all else fails, blame it on me.
Yeah, you know, you could try the blame game.
Y'all mess this up, will you take it off?
Yeah, or do the old, you can try the confused game. You start off by begging and borrowing and then try to turn it around on them halfway through when you see that's not going to work with the, well, y'all the ones who stopped my auto pay. Yeah. You know?
And I will say this. I will say that making the phone call is worth it. Sometimes you can get somebody on the phone that's like, look, we, you know, if it's a local place, you're more likely to be successful than if it's a big box. But I would make the call. And I've seen every mortgage company takes a different attitude when it comes to that kind of thing. But
it's worth
the phone call to see. I think it's a very good point that you made, JD. You know, when you overpay your mortgage, they cannot, assuming it's a simple interest loan, they cannot take that money and set it off to the side for your next payment.
Right.
So they are required to take that money and either apply it to the principal or apply it to the escrow or apply it how you tell them to.
That's correct.
And so there is no such thing as being paid ahead on a mortgage loan, unless a simple interest mortgage loan, which most of the mortgage loans are. So you pay that $1,200, they're taking that extra $300 and putting it to the principal.
Yep.
They're not putting it off to the side to pay future
just
payments.
Just in case.
Not an insurance policy.
Yep.
So if December comes around and you're a little tight, you can't just skip a payment. It doesn't work that way.
And just check your odd cents, because that's exactly what happened to me.
You know,
$900.81 is your payment, and you send them $900. You might as well just pay $500. I mean,
There's no different. You could have paid the $123 and left the $900 out.
Yeah,
you get
exactly
the same 30-day late.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Same late charge, same everything.
Same whole deal. That's right.
So it's important to make sure that you have it covered. We also get that question a lot, JD, when somebody wants to do halvers.
Yep.
And so the key, so let's say you want to pay every 2 weeks with your paycheck, or let's say that you want to pay twice a month. Remember, before you do that, you got to get ahead.
Yep.
So you can't make your August 1st payment. You can't make half of it on the 15th and half of it on the 30th without getting the late charge. And if you miss that 30th, then you're going to get a 30-day late too. You always have to be ahead.
To be able to do that.
Split the payment.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, listen, we appreciate all of our texters and phone calls today. We had some good calls. We didn't even hit our topic of second homes, so didn't have time today. Maybe we'll talk about that next time.
Hey, congratulations to you and Northwoods Little League.
Oh, yeah.
Headed to the regionals.
Won the state championship, heading to regionals next week in Warner Robins. We'll see how Little League does.
Good coaching.
First time, I'll tell you this, first time in South Carolina state Little League history that one Little League organization swept all the state championships. Our 8-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds, 12-year-olds.
There you go.
That was something
it's good
to be proud
coaching,
of.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Well, listen, thanks for all that. If you want to catch us during the week, 331 Home. That's 331-4663. We'll see you next time here on House Plans.